So we spend a few minutes before Shana just going over some of the themes of the davening. Focus primarily on the Musaf. Even though a lot of the themes, especially the first bracha of the Musaf, are relevant to all of the tefillot as well. I dug up a few machzorim from the box downstairs with considerable mess, but then I realized that the standard text for Shemona Esrei is a regular art scroll, vintage art scroll. So those who want to follow along, you could, it's on page 321 in the art scroll of Sidur, the ones on the table. The English ones, so it's the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah. I think the way they print it in the art scroll is in the regular weekday Siddur, they have the Shacharis and Mincha on top and the Musaf on the bottom. Okay, if we look through the brachas of the Musaf, so the first three brachos are more or less the same as the rest of the year. Of course, with the extra insertions of Zerchenu L'chaim Micha Mocha, as well as the considerable insertions in the bracha Vata Kadosh, we recite a whole series of tefillos beginning with Uvechein. I'm not going to focus on that for today. I'll just note that the first three brachos, at least overall, are shall we say, basically the same. Then you have the middle bracha, or the middle brachos, I should say. So it is well known, the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah is unique in terms of all the other Musafim of the whole year that contain seven brachos. The Musaf of Rosh Hashanah contains nine brachos. Whereas there was an opinion that he shown him, I believe the Baal Hamor, that the individual davener would only recite seven, like every other Yom Tif, and it was only the Chazan who would recite the full nine. But the common practice is, like the majority that were shown him, that the entire Musaf of Rosh Hashanah is different for everybody. So they had a total of nine brachas instead of the regular seven. Three at the beginning, three at the end of the regular brachas for the whole year, and three extra ones in the middle. And what the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, I believe this is in the fourth parak, makes clear that the main themes of these brachos are the three themes of Malchias, Zichronos, and Shofaros. So, very broadly speaking, the bracha dealing with Hashem's kingdom or kingship, the bracha is dealing with the fact that Hashem remembers us, both whatever we do, the Tova, the Ra, and we hope the Tova. And then the last bracha of Shofaros, which has somewhat of a mysterious content, but we'll come back to it. I mean, the name itself doesn't really give it away. The Gemara and bracha itself, the Gemara Rosh Hashanah doesn't give it away either. Gemara in Rosh Hashanah has the famous Haggadic statement that Hashem, so to speak, tells Klal Yisrael, Im lefanai Malchias v'Rosh Hashanah, you should cite before me the bracha of Malchias, Kadesha Tamlichuni Erlechem, that you should cause me to reign over you. And Im lefanai Zichronos, you should recite before me the theme of remembrances, Kadesha Yala Zichronechem Letova, that your remembrances should go before me for good. Uvameh b'shofar. That's the end of that Agadic statement in the Gemara. And how? With the shofar, which is a reference to shofros. But if all you have is that statement in the Gemara, then you're not really going to get what the theme of the shofar is. It sounds like the shofar is just a tool to bring up the zichronos of Klal Yisrael, which it certainly is. But there's a major theme in the bracha that has to be highlighted that is not, for some reason, highlighted by that Gemara explicitly. The Gemara then struggles with the halachic issue that there's another theme that has to be mentioned in the Musaf, and that is the Kedusha Sayel, like any other Musaf. You have to mention the sanctity of the day on Shabbos, you have to mention the sanctity of the day on Yom Tov, and you have to mention the sanctity of the day on Rosh Hashanah. It's a regular Yom Tov like any Yom Tov plus more. So, and somehow the Gemara felt, and that's what my Rebbe elaborated on from Israel, Rabbi Shechter from Rabbi Soloveitchik, that the Gemara assumed, took it for granted, that you can't just make up a number in the Shemona Esrei. If you're making a specific number of brachas in Shemona Esrei, it has to parallel some kind of other reference in Tanakh or in Jewish Hashkafa. So apparently the number 10 wouldn't make it. That would have been the easiest solution. To have three brachos dealing with the special uniqueness of Rosh Hashanah, and then seven brachos dealing with the regular Musaf. But the Gemara outruled that right away. You can't have 10 brachos on, I forget the exact Shaka V'Tarya, but the Gemara brings proofs what the significance of the number 9 is. So it has to be 9, it can't be 10. So that means that you have to kind of shoehorn the theme of Malchius into one of the existing brachos. You have to merge them together. And it's actually Machlokis, Tanoim, as to how to merge them together. Rabbi Akiva is of the position that you leave the Kedusha Sayom alone, and you insert the Malchios in the bracha of Kedusha. Ata Kadosh, Shimcha Kadosh, and you insert the Malchios in there. So, and we paskin, like the majority opinion, that you insert the Malchias together with Kedusha Sayyam. So that's why, La Halacha, we end off the bracha of the Musaf, and one could even suggest that maybe it's because of Musaf that it was carried over to the rest of the Tfilos as well, although it could be independently. We very atypically end the bracha in two themes. Of course, they're related, but we do end it in two themes. Normally, we only end the bracha with one theme. Kaddish Shabbat, Chai Yisrael Zmanim, Mogin David. I'm just giving some examples of endings, the Gomel Chasadim Tov Lam Yisrael. We very rarely combine two themes together. It's even a discussion on Tisha B'Av when we end the bracha, Menachem Tzion Uvoni Yerushalayim. But I think the way we end it is Menachem Tzion Bevinyan Yerushalayim. I forget already how we end it. But either way, there's a discussion there how you could have two themes in the ending of a bracha, normally saying one theme. Here you have two themes. Baruch Hashem at the end of the Baruch on 324. Melech al kol haaretz mekadesh Yisrael v'yam hazikaron. So we have the theme of Malchus, and then we have the regular theme of Yom Tov. Mekadesh Yisrael v'yam hazikaron, like Mekadesh Yisrael v'azmanim. And the reason why that is, at least in the Musaf, is because we are joining these two themes together within this one Baruch. So Rabbi Soloveitchik noted that we have echoes of the minority opinion in Shimon HaEsrei as well. Rabbi Akiva maintained that you would recite the brachas of the bracha of Malchius in the bracha of Kedusha, meaning all those psukim, which we'll discuss in a moment, that are used as proofs to the theme of Malchius, they would have been inserted in Ata Kadosh Shimcha Kadosh. It would have been a very long bracha, and we would have said the way we say V'Soros Chakos of Leimor, V'Nemar, V'Nemar, Divrikach Chakos of Leimor, V'Alidei Avnecha V'Mikos of Leimor. We would have done that all that in the Ata Kadosh, but we don't because we don't pass like Rabbi Akiva. But we do, nonetheless, insert a shell of that theme of Malchus in Ata Kadosh, even according to the way we follow. V'chein tein pachtcha Hashem l'ken al kol ma'asecha on page 321. V'emoscha al kol ma'ashevarasa, that your fear should be upon all the nations, etc. They should all serve you, which is the theme of Malchus, without actually mentioning the word explicitly. V'sim lochata Hashem l'vadecha, we mentioned right before the second to last paragraph on page 321 in the Bracha of Kedusha on top. V'simlechat Hashem l'vadecha, you should be the melech. Kakosov d'rekatshecha, yimlech Hashem l'olam. So that idea that Rabbi Akiva thought that you're supposed to put the Malchus in Ata Kadosh wasn't ignored totally by the Mechaber Yesuder. Rabbi Akiva felt he's supposed to do it in mass, the way we do it in the Bracha of Kedushas, in the Bracha of Kedushas Hayom, but we do not do that, but we do it in a more miniature way in Ata Kadosh. And of course that mimics the original takana of Hamel HaKadosh. We change Akel HaKadosh to Hamel HaKadosh. So the theme of Malchus as it relates to the Bracha of Kedusha is certainly there. The only question is how much of it do you put in? So we put in a certain amount. Rabbi Akiva thought you go the whole way. We reserve the elaboration of the theme of Malchus to the essence of the day, the Bracha of Kedusha Sayyam. So those three brachas of Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofaros, so as we mentioned before, the themes of the first two are very apparent even from the simple synopsis of the Gemara. But the second, the third bracha of Shofaros, so just a cursory glance at the bracha itself reveals one of the main themes of what Shofaros is, even though the Gemara itself, for some reason, didn't make it explicit. Ata Negleisa Banan Kodecha. Usually you can pick up on the theme of the bracha by the beginning and the end. So here, the phrase of Shofaros is Ata Negleisa Banan Kodecha. You revealed yourself in your heavenly cloud. Alam Kotzecha Ladabra Imam, to speak to them in Hashemayim Mishmatam Kolecha. So here we're speaking about Shofaros, but we're speaking about right away about Har Sinai. That's the main theme of this, the beginning part of the bracha. And then the Torah proceeds to quote, the davening proceeds to quote several psukim dealing with Har Sinai, where the shofar was blowing very loudly in Har Sinai. Then we move on to the proof text from the Nevi'im. And,
question? Couldn't we say that the Torah Min HaShemayim is almost like a form of Malchus as well?
Certainly could, but yeah. The brachas try to be loyal directly to where the uh-huh. the actual term is mentioned, the exception of Shema Yisrael, but uh-huh. there's certainly going to be an overlap between the themes. And then in the intermediate paragraph with the Rikach Chokas of Lemo, it speaks about the Pesukim from the Nevi'im. So there, it's a little hard to see the main theme of the conglomeration of those Pesukim together. It refers to praising HaKadosh Baruch Hu with the shofar. Allah lakim b'sruah, Hashem b'kol shofar, and then the ending mizmor, Halleluhu b'seik ha-shofar, Halleluhu b'nevo l'chinor. But then in the last paragraph, on page 326, V'al yidei avadecha nevi'im katzu leimor, so then it speaks about Geula. Kol yoshvei teva v'shochni yoretz kinso neisarim tiru, chizkor shofar tishmo. All the dwellers of the earth, when they see the banner being raised high in the mountains, and when the shofar is being blown, they will hear. They will hear what? If you look in the context of the Pesukim in Yeshaya that's being quoted here, it's talking about Geula, the final redemption. And then the more famous Pasuk, Ne'emar, V'haya b'yomahu yitaka b'shofar gadol. That very day, the day of Geula, there will be a great trumpet sound, the V'ho Ovdim Beret Ashur, V'anidochem Beret Mitzrayim, of course many, many famous Nigunim, various singers to these words. Some slow, some fast. But the common theme is it's all talking about Geula. That's why it was popularized as a song, a longing for Geula. And then finally the last pasuk, V'nemar, V'Hashem Aleihem Yireh, Hashem will appear to them, V'yotza Kabar Chitzo, and his, like lightning, his metaphorical arrow will appear, V'Hashem Elokim B'Shofar Yiska, and he will blow the shofar. Once again, in the context where that pasuk appears, which is also Yeshaya, it's referring to Geula. Actually, no, that pasuk is, believe me, is in Zechariah. And then we end off. Davening again for Geula. And then we end with the fact that Hashem listens to our shofar call. Most of the bracha talks about Hashem's shofar call. Hashem's blowing the shofar. And then at the end we end off. Kiyata shemea kol shofar ma'atim trua. You are the one who listens to shofar, and you listen to our sounds of shofar, which is one of the proofs that Rasul Vaishikad, that one of the main things of shofar is tefillah. You listen to our tefillah. This is a very similar phrase. You listen to Shomei Tefillah, Shomei Kol Shofar, and then we end off, Baruch Hashem, Shomei Kol Trua Sam Yisrael Barachamim. You listen to the Shofar. So it's a little hard to put get a pulse on this bracha, but I think it's fair to say, and that's what I think the art scroll commentary suggests this as well, that the main theme is revelation. It starts with Atan Aglesa, the fact that Hashem reveals Himself to the world. He revealed Himself to the world of Har Sinai. He will reveal Himself again to the world in times of Geula. And then, we'll come back later, we'll try to suggest, so where are those other sub-themes of praising Hashem with the shofar and the fact that Hashem listens to our shofar blowing? How does that fit into the bracha? But I think it's fair to say that the main theme of the bracha is revelation. So what do we have then? We're crowning Hashem as king in the first bracha, that's Malchus. We recognize the fact that Hashem remembers us, that's the Chronos. And we recognize the fact that Hashem reveals Himself to the world, and that's the bracha of shofaros. Well, these are very fundamental concepts in our religion. The fact that Hashem is the king of the world, which of course presumes His existence, but not just presumes His existence, but the fact that He is ultimate reality, and therefore it is only to Him that we owe loyalty. The fact that Hashem remembers us, which is ultimately the theme of Hashgacha Pratis, the fact that Hashem intervenes in the world, didn't create it and then leave on a rocket ship the way certain, even without the rocket ship, but certain religions have that notion. Some of them have it actively. That's a religion they call deism, which I'm not a historian, but some point out that was a very popular religion of the founding fathers, that they used the term God all the time, but they didn't necessarily subscribe to the fact that Washington is probably a little frummer than Jefferson, because he spoke about divine providence all the time, but there was a notion out there that, and with all due respect to the Ribbono Shel Olam, he created the world, but he basically left Haaretz Nasan L'Bnei Adam, that's it. It's just up to mankind. You want to destroy the whole world, do whatever you want, but basically it's up to you guys, I'm not intervening anymore. So that, of course, from our perspective, is heretical. That's certainly starting from the Avos and throughout Har Sinai and throughout Geula, we are constantly stressing the fact that although yes, Hashem partners with man in the ultimately the creation of what the world is going to be like, And many Sfarim point out, you know, who really runs the world? Not the Ribbono Shel Olam, the Tzaddikim run the world, because depending on what they do, it's the other guys, the Kadosh Baruch Hu Mekayim. So it is true that man has a very, very prominent role in the world, but that's because Hashem subjected his will to the way human beings act, and he in turn will act in the world according to the way human beings act. But ultimately he has the true power. Lova Shemayim, he has to be understood in the context. Lova Shemayim, he means that we, based on the Torah principles that Hashem has given us, decide matters of halacha, yes. And, well, in terms of human activity, we are going to determine ultimately how Hashem acts in the world. But it's ultimately we are generating how Hashem acts in the world. But it's not, he left Haaretz Nesan Levnei Adam, and he totally abandoned the world and doesn't really care what mankind does, Latova Lara. He acts, as the famous expression is given, as a shadow to human behavior. That was his will, to react in the world according to our actions. So, depending on how you put it, Hashem runs the world, or human beings run the world, but there's two sides of the same coin, that the Ribbono Shel Olam runs the world, and he subjected his will to the way human beings act. That was his will from the initial time of creation. Lo b'shamayim has to be taken in context. The concept of Hashem abandoning the world, which was also an Aristotelian concept, except he tried to indicate that was out of Kavod Shamayim, that the world is too lowly for God to really involve himself in what he called things below the lunar sphere. Right? So that was a convenient heresy, that you know, God's a concept, but it really doesn't really make a difference. Because, you know, he exists, he created the world, we have to have some kind, or according to Aristotle, he kind of shadowed the world, whatever, it's not for now, but he doesn't really have any concern for human activity. So that, of course, is a philosophical heresy. You agree to the concept of God, but you don't really have any notion of human responsibility, because God does not really observe or intervene in the world. Of course, Judaism taught from the very beginning that was not true, that there was a Elokim, there was a God of creation, yes, the more distant God, the God of nature, the God of order, but then there's Hashem, Yudkei Vavkei, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I reveal myself in the world. That's what they quote from, I think I quoted this a few months back when we were discussing Kari Muna from Descartes. It's supposed to be a legend, and he was a frum philosopher, so... he was probably Christian, I guess, but they say that he sewed in the jacket in lining, that I believe in the God of Abraham, not the God of Aristotle. God of Aristotle is a concept. It's a philosophical concept that you just construct for purposes of presentation. The God of Abraham is a God that has demands of man, and in turn man serves that God and ultimately gains eternity and connects to that source as a result of their connecting to him. And that's why further as Abraham was in the Nevi'im, and as well as in the Midrashim, Avraham Avinu was the one who brought the Ribbono Shel Olam down to the world. Well, he was always down in the world. I mean, he was the one who recognized the fact that Hashem is heavily involved in the world, and he's not just the God of creation. And of course, he was the first one that Hashem chose as the ancestor, the founding father of the people that would eventually bring that concept in a maximum way to themselves and hopefully ultimately to the whole world. So this is the bracha of Zichronos, which stresses that idea that Hashem remembers us, meaning he knows all the actions of man and he intervenes in the world accordingly. Again, we don't have time to go through the whole bracha, but just look at the opening paragraph. That's exactly what it says. You remember all the Adhazacher, Masiyar, Lamafokid, Kol Yitzhak, Kedem, Lefenech, Niglu, Kol Talumos, before you, all of the hidden things, Vamonis, Roshim, Ibrashis, from the beginning of Ibrashis all the way until then. Zofum, Nab, Mabit, that self called Doros, just giving to line 4. And then it speaks about the fact that you're going to intervene. Balamadinos, Bal Yomer, on the nations of the world is going to be stated, Ezel HaCherev, Ezel HaShalom, Ezel HaRav, Ezel HaSova. Right, which nation is going to have peace, which nation is going to have war? Right, it was a decree, that's the way the Bali Musar always was, Mashkichim always liked to shake up the boys in Chodesh El. Just remember that if the United States went to war in Iraq, you should know that that was a divine decree in Tavshin Samach. Hey, if Rosh Hashanah, when the Iraq war started, Tavshin Samach Dalet probably. And if there was a Chalila, there was a tragedy in the Twin Towers, 9/11, which happened in Chodesh El too. So that was decreed in Tavshin Samach. And the decrees for the whole world as to how the world is, what's going to happen. And Hashem judges the world, and then tremendous things happen, both the Tov and the Ra. both for nations and also individuals. So that's the theme of its bracha, that Hashem knows. As we spoke about at length when we discussed the Ikar Emuna, there are two themes to Hashgacha. Number one, that Hashem knows, that He knows everything. Number two, that He intervenes. Then we had a discussion that sometimes He doesn't intervene. We had a whole discussion of what that means, that He doesn't intervene, because that's somewhat of a mistaken notion. Meaning He allows the regular natural order that He Himself rules to rule, and He doesn't override it. But there are two parts to the basic theme of Hashgacha, that Hashem knows in theory, and then He knows in action, meaning He'll intervene based on the knowledge. This bracha highlights those two ideas, that He knows, He remembers everything is recorded, and He intervenes accordingly, according to that action. And finally, the theme of revelation is also a very fundamental theme in Jewish Hashgacha and Ikar Emuna, that Hashem reveals Himself to mankind, that He's not a distant God, and that He informs mankind how He wants them to act. Of course, the whole premise of Matan Torah, and the fact that Hashem has given us a guidebook, is the fact, against the ancient philosophers, or whatever modern philosophy would put it, that God doesn't communicate to man, but that's what our Torah says He certainly does, and that's the whole premise of Nevuah, that Hashem gives prophecy to mankind, and Har Sinai was an example of global prophecy to an entire nation, at least to some extent. The entire nation received at least a part of the divine message, and Moshe Rabbeinu gave us the rest of the divine message because he was a prophet, meaning that Hashem reveals Himself to man. What time is it now? I don't know. What?
I'm early.
Sorry. What? So just to wrap it up in a few minutes. I usually watch the minutes over here. So there's a famous analysis of the Sefer Ikarim that I just wanted to mention in this regard, that Rosh Hashanah is a day of stressing fundamentals. If you will, I think that Rabbi Shward, it doesn't mean my editorial, but for a beautiful shiur last night, but, okay, very good. So he stressed very quickly, this is one of the secondary themes of his presentation, but a question that many ask, which we also addressed in other ways as well in previous shiurim, and that is why tshuva is not mentioned so much in Rosh Hashanah. I think I have a theory. I have to check, but if I'm not mistaken, I think if you cut out all the piyutim, if you just stick to the core text of the Marzah Rosh Hashanah from the Anshei Knesset Gedola, it could be that the word tshuva is not mentioned even once. I have to check. It might be a tall order. Avinu Malkeinu, in of itself, that it was expanded from the times of the Gemara. But if we just stick to the Shemona Esrei and certainly Birchas Kriya Shema, I don't even think the word Shuva was mentioned once. That's very, and certainly Chet and Avon, that's for sure not mentioned. So many, especially more recent Mechabrin, They why is this? This is the day we should be doing tshuva. So how come we don't do Avida and Rosh Hashanah? So we discussed approaches in the past, but the main common denominator of all these themes is that before you focus on the nuts and bolts of how you have to correct yourself, and of course it's always important to get to that. It's very beautiful to speak about change, but unless it's another Aish.com 2 minute video, that it's very nice to speak about change, and I'm going to change everything this year, but you have to have a plan. I'm going to set an alarm clock so I'll get to shul on time. I'll set two alarm clocks to shul on time. I'm going to join the Machzon L'Pi, so every 2 hours a day I'll stop. I'll be extra careful in terms of Lashon Hara. When my the house is very noisy and the kids are climbing the wall and one's fighting with the other and throwing eggs in the other person's face, so how are you going to avoid not becoming, letting off steam? Are you going to run to the room and count to 10? Are you going to gargle water? Are you going to say, wait a second, I'll be back in 5 seconds? There has to be some plan. Otherwise, the life situations present themselves and you'll fall into the same behavior that that you had before. That's what creatures of habit. But before you get to that nuts and bolts, which is really the theme after Rosh Hashanah, and of course of Yom Kippur, and Sukkot as well, where Hashem tells us, okay, before you get back to the real world, but just mitzvahs all the time, and then you'll apply your plan for the regular life. Rosh Hashanah is a time of focusing on fundamentals. And what are those fundamentals? So in the past, we spoke about hirhu tshuva, commitment to change, right? You hear the shofar, I must change. Rosh Hashanah is a time to focus on the theme of something Rabbi Soloveitchik developed, which I'm not going to have enough time to mention now, but just very briefly, the theme of signing again on the contract with God. Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokim, Hashem Echad. Hashem is one, Hashem is the Melech. And just like he offered us a treaty at Har Sinai, and again in last week's Parsha, yesterday's Parsha, which we just read, Atem nitzavim hayom kolchem lefnei Hashem Elokechem, Rashechem shetechem, zeknechem shetechem, la'ovecha bevris Hashem Elokecha v'olaso. A covenant, right? Hashem didn't just command us, but he basically, through the agency of Moshe Rabbeinu, made us sign on the dotted line. We're the covenantal people. To sign on the dotted line. So every year we renew the covenant. And that's why one of the sub-themes of the brachos is the bris, the concept of the treaty. So we're committing ourselves once again to the Torah every year on Rosh Hashanah. Another Kabbalah HaTorah, another Kabbalah HaBris, a major theme. And then we focus on Ikar Yemunah, the fundamental principles of faith that, as David HaMelech puts in Tehillim and Kuf Yates, Kol Mitzvasech Emunah, right? That all the 613 mitzvos are ultimately 613 ways of expressing our belief in God. And as many point out, Emunah is the foundation, right? Now, everything builds on Emunah. Without Emunah, so all the mitzvahs are meaningless. You could be a good person, you could have a good heart, and you could do wonderful things in the world, and you could build all sorts of social centers. It's beautiful. It makes the world a better place. But it doesn't connect you to your source. For that, you can't get Olam Haba just for doing good deeds. The whole process of Avodas Hashem is premised upon the fact that one believes that we have a mission, we have a purpose that was endowed upon us by our Creator, and through fulfilling this mission we connect ourselves to Him and thus gain eternity and also make the world a better place, because He wants the world to be a better place. That's the whole premise of Emunah, which is why the Rambam writes that even a non-Jew who has seven commandments, most of which they could figure out on their own, but if they do them not because of divine command, but because of the fact that they figured it out, the secular moralism. So, I throw it out again because I'm trying to look for a source. I can't find it. It didn't look that hard. But if anyone knows, if you can get back to me, I thought there are sources that indicate that if you make the world a wonderful place because of secular moralism, so you'll have a wonderful Olam Hazeh. That Hashem will mida keneged mida. You created a beautiful world for others, so you'll have a beautiful world in this world. But when you die, your soul, which ultimately has to connect to God, that didn't connect to God at all in this world. If you had a secular moralism, you didn't believe in God. So Olam Haba cannot be earned by anyone who didn't fulfill the seven commandments, or for Jews, the 613, that's based on Emunah. So that's a fundamental, without which all of connection to God doesn't make sense, because then it's not connection to God. So it's not surprising that on Rosh Hashanah, we basically list the Rambam's Ikar Emunah, except not in the Anim Amin fashion, but in the Musa fashion of the Shemoneh Esrei. And this is something that the Sefer Ikarim of Yosef Albo makes explicit, where in his famous presentation, where he disputes the Rambam to some extent, and he writes that in his view, there should not be 13 Ikar Emunah, there should be 3. And then he proceeds to show how all the 13 can be placed into 3 main subcategories. Category 1, the Ribbono Shel Olam. Category 2, the fact that the Ribbono Shel Olam revealed himself and gave a mission to man. And category 3, that mission is important in the divine scheme of things, and that Hashem in turn will do things both in Olam Hazeh and in Olam Haba based on the fulfillment of that revelation. So those are the 3 themes of the brachos of the Musaf. The theme of Malchus, you are the king of the world. The theme of the Chronos, you remember the world. Here it's in a little bit of reverse order. I think the Sefer Karm deals with that, but I didn't get a chance to review it before today. And the Zechronos, meaning Hashkacha Pratis, Hashem intervenes, and He gives reward in this world and the next, and punishment, Chalila, and Shofaros, that He reveals Himself to the world. He revealed Himself at Har Sinai, and He will reveal Himself again in an open way at the end game of the world, which is what we call Geula, the end game of Olam Hazeh. So if we view it that way, perhaps we could explain that middle paragraph of that we kind of glossed over before, of Divrei Kodshcha Kosov Leimor Shofaros, that this theme of revelation is a two-sided approach. Hashem reveals Himself to us, and in turn, we are meant to take up the call of the Ribbono Shel Olam and then connect to Him. So there's a two-way shofar blowing over here. if you will, it's like a symphony orchestra, right? Here you have the one on the horn, toot-toot-toot, and then someone on the other end goes toot-toot-toot. There's a call back and forth. So Hashem Yisbarach calls out to us with the kol ha-shofar at Har Sinai and again at Geula, and in the middle period of Divrei Katzcha, Katzav Leima, all akim b'sruah Hashem b'kol shofar, that Hashem goes up with our shofar blowing. Who's blowing the shofar here? We're blowing the shofar. B'chatzot of the kol shofar, real of Ne'am Melech Hashem, blow to HaKadosh Baruch with the shofar. Tiku b'chor ha-shofar, blow in the month of the shofar b'kesim chagenu. Haleluka, haleluka, kel b'kotcho, haleluka, kiyo, haleluka, seka shofar, haleluka, b'sruah. We're blowing the shofar. Hashem calls out to us, He reveals Himself to us, and we're meant to take up the call and answer back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Yes, we heard the call, now we want to connect to you. And there's a very intense symbolism here. Of course, that's generally through Ma'isa HaMitzvos, and through Talmud Torah, and through Tefillah, and through Gemilas Chasadim. But we have this direct analogy. Hashem calls to us, we call back to Him. With the same vehicle that He first called to us, and eventually will call to us again. Based on that approach, just hit me this year, that perhaps that's why we do something that we never ever do that's somewhat of a misstatement, that we don't do as intensely as we do in the Musaf, the concept of proof text. Just I davened in the Or HaChaim today, they had a beautiful sefer, just a collection of Rabbi Soloveitchik's essays, posthumously, so many Svarim coming out from him. It's called Moedei HaRav. I didn't hear the author, his name is Shlomo Pick from Bar Ilan University, or at least it was published by Bar Ilan University. So he I took a look at one page there, and Rabbi Soloveitchik noted what's the basic outline of each bracha. First is a theme, then you prove the theme, and then you conclude with a tefillah. So, for example, you have starting from page 322 on the bottom, which is where that's Kedusha Sayom, but that's the part that relates directly to Malchus. Aleinu Shebeach Adon HaKol, Hashem's the King, and then we describe it in freestyle words, meaning by freestyle I mean composed words. These are not primarily from the Nevi'im. There are words that were created by whoever created the Aleinu prayer. Traditionally, it was created by Yoshua, and then we prove what we just said. And Alkein the Kavlecha, so we end off as follows. Kakasa v'sorasecha, Hashem yimlach olam voed. V'nemar, lo'ibit avim b'yakov l'olam Yisrael, Hashem l'kavim osruas melech bo. Hashem is the king. How do you know? Pasuk, shtei b'chumash. V'nemar, v'hi v'shur melech, satsir Hashem yachad shtei Yisrael. And as is well known, as the Gemara Rosh Hashanah indicates, we prove it with 10 psukim. 3 from the Torah, that's Kakasa v'sorasecha, v'nemar, v'nemar. 3 from the Nevi'im, which is Al Yedei Avdecha Nevi'im Kosev Leimar, V'nemar V'nemar. And then 3 from Ksuvim, which traditionally was always taken from Tehillim, Uvedivri Kotchcha Kosev Leimar. And those are all from Tehillim. So 3, 3, 3.
Why out of order, though?
The way the Gemara puts it is because we really want to go in ascending order, but we start with Torah. So we start with Torah, and then we reverse the order again. We start from the lowest level, sanctity, holy writings, the Ksuvim, and then we move to the Nevi'im. And then we end off with a final pasuk of Sorachas Kosev Leimah Shema Yisrael Hashem Akin Hashem Echad. Why do you need so many proof texts? A lot of times we'll say, you know, Hashem should bring us back to the base of Migdash, Shenemar, Vavio Simar Kachi, etc. Or we should bring Karbonos to you. We have in the Musaf of the regular Yom Tov, as it says, etc. But one pasuk suffices. Here we roll up the heavy artillery, as it says, you know, someone's giving a shir. And I'll prove this point to you, because this is what it says, and this is Seth, and I'm Seth, this Rambam, this Rishon. Why do you have to prove it so much? So it would appear that idea that the Sefer Karim develops is very meaningful here in order to understand that. We're trying to stress the fact that we are Maminim. And human beings need proofs in order to mimachazek that emunah. It doesn't just come automatically. So we discuss the theme, and then we indicate in many, many different ways that yes, as it says in the Torah, as it says in the Nevi'im, as it says in the Ksuvim, all of this discusses this theme, and we do the same thing for the Chronos and the same thing for Shofaros. Again, I'm sure there are many other reasons why in these brachos we have so many psukim, but that approach of the Koran perhaps can help us understand why so many psukim I mentioned, because we're developing a thesis here. We're discussing emunah, and then we're proving it to ourselves, and then we turn to Kodesh Baruch and we dive into him that in the merit of our belief in that concept, that whatever it is we're davening for should occur. In the case of Malchus, that the ultimate revelation of Hashem Malchus should occur. In the case of the Chronos, that Hashem should remember us Latova, and even if we are sinful, but He should remember our ancestors who followed Him. And in the case of Shofaros, that He should reveal Himself to the world and with the Shofar Gadol, B'chei Roseinu, and that He should listen to our sound of the Shofar. Based on what we said before, He blew the Shofar, we responded, so He should blow His Shofar, the Geula, and He should also listen to our Shofar as we call out to Him. The one final thing I wanted to mention before we close, I assume this watch is on time, that's why I'm taking advantage before, I don't want to take up my Rosenberg's time. And the Bracha of Zichronos, which is on page 324. So, something that Rabbi Soloveitchik noted, and this is printed in the Yemei HaZikaron, Days of Remembrance in English. In order to be a pasuk of Zikaron, yeah, you need two criteria, the Gemara says. It has to mention the fact that Hashem is remembering us, and it has to be good. So if Hashem is remembering our veros, so you can't put it in here. But if Hashem is remembering our enemies, what they did, and He's going to destroy them as a result of it, so that you could also include. So for example, the Gemara says that you can include Zichor Hashem levnei Adam es yom Yishlayim ha'omim oru adi sodba. Remember the children of Edom, meaning the Roman Empire, how they destroyed the Beis HaMikdash, and you should punish them. We don't include that pasuk, but it happens to be it could be included. So Rabbi Soloveitchik noted there was a very rare exception. I think that there might even be maybe only one exception. All the psukim, when they speak about the Koron, they speak about the covenant. Vayishmael Hakim es Nakasom, Vayishkul Hakim es Briso, right next to the number 2 on page 324. Vizachati es Brisi Yaakov. Divrei Kachach Hakas of Leimar on page 324. Terev Nathan Rev, Yizkol and Briso. Yizkol and Briso. Yinachim Rav Chasadov. And so on and so forth. Again, not all of them are like that, but they either discuss Bris or are related to Bris, and once in a while you have a pasuk that's not related to Bris. And then at the end, Zechartel and Bris Rishonim. Why the stress on Bris? There are many other psukim that could be discussed in the Chronos. So that's what Rav Soloveitchik noted, because that's one of the main themes of Rosh Hashanah too. Chidush HaBris, a renewal of the covenant. We commit ourselves to renew our part of the deal, and we ask Kadosh Baruch Hu to commit to his part of the deal as well, to protect us and to save us from enemies, and so on and so forth. That's why he noted, I'm not going to take up time now, that he felt that one of these psukim is really a mistake, because it doesn't really speak about Zikaron at all. Zecher, Asel, and Flosov doesn't mean that Hashem remembers, it means that Hashem made a remembrance. So that's why he proposed that you should stick in another bracha. Another pasuk of Zochar la'olam briso David til el zor, because that speaks about the bris. But this is another theme that we have in the Musaf Rosh Hashanah, developing again, going back to fundamentals of re-signing on the covenant and asking Hashem that He should keep His part of the deal as well.